Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. This is Dr. John Stamey, and we've got the Skim Board Report and the Myrtle Beach Report. So good to have everybody here with us tonight. And our guest host is none other than Miller Edgeworth. Miller, how are you doing tonight?
John, I'm doing real good. I'm happy to be back reporting for the Skim Board News. I'm excited for another podcast.
Exactly. We're glad to have you here. Now, you were telling me, we got together a little bit and chatted today, and you told me that there is a new hot company that's entered into the race to be the champion of the Skim Boards, and they've got potentially a new event coming up. So tell us all about this new company.
Yeah, absolutely. So the company is called Storm Skim Boards. Yeah, that's Storm Skim Boards. It's pretty cool. They're a new company. They're like a backyard company. It's from what I've read, it's like a group of three dudes, you know, all best friends. And from what I understand, they built their own shed that they have as their shaping studio. So they shape their own boards. They make their own custom boards. What they tend to do is you call in and they make a custom board just for you. They're not pumping out like manufactured, same cuts all the way through. Each board that they make is an individualized, personalized board for each customer that they have. So they're a very, not only independent, but, I guess I can't think of the word here, but they're going for their own style there for everyone who wants
customized
to ride Storm Skim Boards. Yeah, exactly.
It's customized, and that's a great thing because skimboarding is not necessarily the production assembly line kind of thing. It's about what you as a skimboarder want. Is that correct?
Exactly, yeah. It's all about the rider because every rider rides a little differently. You know, some people try to go for diff. Some people are just trying to flick the board and do a lot of tray shoves. And, you know, and others are just trying to coast the waves. So, yeah, they are definitely looking to individualize for each rider. And I think that's a really smart way to go about it because exactly like you said, it's about the rider. It's about the individualization for each person. And so they actually started – their first board that they made was on March 6th of 2018. So they've been in the works for a little bit now, but they've been like slowly building their company. That first board that they made, it was you know, the first board. They kind of made it for themselves. It was the beginning staple of the company, and they slowly grew. It's kind of like a side hustle for them. And so through the years, they've been learning the process of building, shaping and overlaying the carbon fiber, because what makes these boards so unique versus surfboards are very buoyant. That's what allows the surfer to ride. And what's the difference in a skim board is that it's all about your speed when it comes to the actual ride itself. I feel like I've said this in every single podcast. You got timing, control, and speed. And when it comes to the board itself, the board is all about speed. And so you use carbon fiber, which is like the lightest, you know, material that they make in reference to what would work. And so, you know, these boards, my board's like a 54 or 56 inch board. And you look at it and you think it'd be several pounds, but it is very light. And that's for you to, you know, help allow yourself to skim the waves, you know,
because
light board, fast traction, easy movement. But as they got to getting and going, you know, they're building their company and they're starting their own shape. What I came to find, they have a traditional shape. I feel like, you know, every company has, I don't even know what you call it. It's just, you look at it and you know, that's the traditional shape. And then they have what is similar to my board, the Hornet and, Hornet or a hybrid. And those are really good for turns. Like the bottom of the board is to a really solid point. And so when you're on the waves, you can really dig and pivot on the wave super hard. But then they have the most unique style I've seen yet, and I'm going to call it the Trident board, because the end of the board has 4 points. There's a traditional board called a fishtail. Long boards or surfboards or even skim boards have this, and that's where the bottom of the board comes to 2 points to make almost like a W at the bottom. But this trident shape is very unique. Seen nothing before. It starts at the bottom and it goes almost to a U, and then it goes into the fishtail shape, and then it wraps back around to create another U, and in the middle of the fishtail, there's an additional indention upwards into the board. So it's almost actually like a W. And I can only imagine that helps you carve the water in a very intense way, just because of the shape of the board. Just looking at it, and you can tell that there is going to be some massive control on this board, and just the uniqueness of it. They're storm skim boards. It's like no other. They're not looking to follow the same platform. They are looking to do their own thing. And from 2018 to early 2018 to the end of 2018, these are just their first several boards, and they are already breaking the mold. So very good on them. And within these recent years, I'd say 2020, and now we're in 2021, they've really started ramping up their production. They actually started getting their calls in. They were starting to make their own custom boards and such, and they're hitting the ground floor now. And that's actually exactly why, as you mentioned before, they're doing a competition. They are ready to go public, and that's the whole point of their competition coming up. And I think there isn't a better way to go about it. I mean, if you want to let the public know that you're ready for action, hosting a competition is the way to do it. And they are going to host this competition in Jupiter, Florida, where they have their shop, December 4th of this year.
Wow, that sounds great. We might have to head down there for that. You know, Florida's not that far from South Carolina, is it?
No, not at all. And Florida waters, they stay warm, for sure. And you know, when I went to Oktoberfest, I'm sure we'll be talking about that here shortly. When I went to Oktoberfest, I thought that was the last skimboard competition of the year. That was the reason why I got to go. You know, there was going to be no other opportunities until the year turned over. And then the last day of Oktoberfest, they announce that they're hosting a competition. And I mean, really, these guys are smart. They're individualizing themselves. They're going public during their own event. And they announce their own event on the last day of the alleged last competition of the year. And they drop this bomb saying, hey, come on out to ours, because we're going to keep the fun going in 2021.
Boy, that's great. So we look forward. Now, do you happen to know what city they're in or where they're going to be having this competition?
So the flyer that they have out at this moment, it actually is a little bit of a to-be-determined location. However, it is going to be in Jupiter, Florida, if I'm understanding what they're laying down correctly. I know that they have their business in Jupiter.
Jupiter's a wonderful place. It really is. So we'll see how big these guys are.
You know what, John? We're kind of losing you here. I can't quite hear you.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Looks like you're coming back in.
Okay, good. Well, we'll have to get these guys on our podcast as soon as we can. And it just sounds exciting, so we will do that. We'll see if we can't get them on next week. We'll do everything we can to get them. I'll check with them tomorrow. So that sounds good. Tell us about Oktoberfest. Oktoberfest was a huge event out there.
it was a great time. I mean, just overall, I mean, fun time. But start to finish, you know, Thursday morning, I get up 3 o'clock, and I leave from Florence Airport, and then I fly out to Charlotte, and then from Charlotte to Dallas, and then from Dallas to Santa Ana, California. I take my Uber to the hotel, and it is time to get to the beach. I settle in, I grab my board, and it was only a 2.5 mile walk from the hotel I was at. And so I go for a quick, easy jog, you know, like might as well get a warm up in, you know. So I go running down to the beach, and you know, I'm passing by these people, and they're on their bikes, I'm waving at them. I'm running with my board, you know, I got this silly little smile on my face. And, you know, funny enough, right before I got to the beach, it was one of the last houses, I was almost certain I saw Hulk Hogan. I looked to the left, and, like, there's this dude, and he's got, you know, the biker mustache or whatever, and the yellow shirt. And I was like, man, that's him. And, you know, I text my dad and stuff and let everyone know, like, hey, I just saw Hulk Hogan. And right before I get to the beach, too, in its own private little section where there's only – like, I don't even know. It couldn't have been more than 3 families that were in this long stretch of beach and just a private, beautiful, beautiful clearing with some of the best barrels I had ever seen. It was intense. And I got the whole strip of beach to myself, and I just went for it full force, getting my practice in, because the actual competition started Saturday and this was Thursday. So I was getting my rides in. I was having a good time. I was getting frozen by the cold Pacific water, but you know, I wasn't letting that stop me. And so the competition was being hosted at the Balboa Pier. And so, you know, I started heading southward, which, you know, is a little funny being on the West Coast where south is now down to the left as opposed to in the East Coast is off to the right. So I was just kind of like taken back by that. But anyway, so I head out towards the pier. And there was a couple of beaches in between. Well, they had like jetties sectioning off each beach, and each beach as I would go down, there were different swells just because, you know, a different part of the beach. I mean, that's all it takes, you know, just a couple hundred feet down the shore, and that's all it takes to get different kinds of waves. So I was just spending the whole day going down the beach until I reached the pier. You know, getting different waves, getting adjusted, doing what I like to call adaptability practice. Just simply catching different style waves. And I was surprised. It was very flat, and that's not typically what you're looking for when it comes to skimboarding. But funny enough, I found out the day of the competition that was not, in fact, the Balboa Pier. I had found the Newport Pier. And but excuse me, this Thursday I had not known that, but I mean, very flat waters, very similar to Myrtle Beach, how there's a long, gradual slope out onto the water. You know, as the tide recedes, you can see a very long, gradual slope. And what was really cool about it is, like, it got to the point where it was just really flat for a really long stretch. And so I was just practicing my tech, as they call it, you know, like the pop shove-its, the tray shoves, the XYZs, you know, the cool little flares that will set you above the competition. And and I got cold, you know, the Pacific waters, man, it's really cold out there. Southern California or not, that those waters are frigid. And so I needed to get off the wind for a little bit, and I started heading towards the shops, you know, just checking stuff out. And before I knew it, I walked into a surf shop, and like just on an impulse buy, I ended up walking out with a wetsuit top. And like I walked out of there, and I put it on in the change room, and I walked out. I paid for it with it still on, and I was kind of like, huh, that was unexpected. But I went out into the water for round two, and sure enough, I was like, oh man, night and day. I'm sure glad I bought this, and I really am, because I don't know how I would have been able to compete, because as the weekend rolled on, the water in the air, it just got colder. And Friday it was it was a little more of the same. You know, I got up early in the morning, got up at 5 o'clock. I got some stretches in, I got a quick workout in, got some breakfast, and I hit the beach. And then on my way to the beach, I passed by Hulk Hogan's house again. And he was sitting out there on the porch, and I actually got to talking to him, and I found out that it was not, in fact, Hulk Hogan. It was just a really cool guy from Minnesota. I guess he's a big fan or something, to say the least. Anyway, they went out there. And what's that?
I said exactly, yeah, because Hulk Hogan lives in, believe it or not, Jupiter, Florida.
Whoa, wow.
Isn't that?
Huh. That's
we'll have to see. I've got some friends that know him because, you know, I'm part of the wrestling business, and I have a podcast now called Pro Wrestling Interviews, and I'll see if I can find Hulk Hogan and see if we can hang out with him when we go down there.
Get the real deal. That would be really cool.
We'll see what
we can do.
Yeah,
no telling. Anyway, so I guess fake Hulk Hogan and his wife, they came out and watched me do some of my, cheered me on and stuff, and, you know, a little bit more of the same, like I said, just hanging out, enjoying Southern California, and so I ended my Friday at an Irish pub, and I got to talking to a cool fella named Dave, and he was telling me about the California life, and I was just loving it, man. It was really cool. It was a nice way to end my in my last day before the big competition on Saturday morning. I get geared up. I put on my competition shorts. It's like a new staple. Right before my first competition out in Dewey Beach, I bought myself a cool pair of shorts, and I've worn them twice in a row. So I guess they're my competition shorts now. And put on the wetsuit and walked out on a really cold day. You know, I was like, oh man, I hope it's just the morning air. And so this is when I went to the Newport Pier, and I'm approaching it, and I'm texting my buddy Dylan Duncan, who's actually the newest member of the Exile team. And Exile is the skimboarding company. Exile Skimboards, they're the company who hosted the Oktoberfest. And so I texted my buddy Dylan. I'm like, hey, man, you know, like, what's going on here? Like, there's no way I'm at the right place. And, you know, thankfully I reached out to him because he refreshed me on where I was supposed to be. And I was walking up to the Newport Pier, and it seemed like I was at the right place because there was a large group of people. But as I approached, it was just like a bunch of high schoolers in their pajamas. I was like, what is going on here, man? This can't be the place. And sure enough, it was a whole nother pier down. And I had on Friday, I had rented an electric scooter from Maninam, really cool place. That guy really helped me out. He cut me a deal because I told him about why I was getting the skimboard, how I was trying to avoid paying for Ubers left and right. And so he cut me a deal, and really nice guy. I really appreciate him for that. And, you know, thanks to him, I was able to not only save some money, but I was able to independently go where I needed to get, and didn't have to rely on the Uber. So I was able to just dart down one more pier, and, you know, sure enough, I get to the right place, and I'm seeing people setting up their scaffolding, getting ready. And, you know, now that I know I'm in the right place, my energy's getting up, and the skies started to clear, quite literally. The sun started to break out, and I was watching people roll up, and I knew it was about time to get going. And so, you know, I hit the waters, and I'm practicing. And as the morning kind of rolled on, the waves were getting bigger. And I was like, oh, my goodness. Because, you know, I'm from the East Coast. We don't really get shore break. We don't even – or in South Carolina, we hardly even get, you know, barrels to begin with. And so the barrels and shore break that I was seeing in Newport, right on 46th Avenue, where I was staying at the Hulk Hogan Avenue, if you will, those waves were pretty big. But here I am at Balboa Pier, and they're almost twice as huge. It was like, oh my goodness, I really kind of like, I kind of put myself at a disadvantage just by not quite knowing my orientation, you know. But I guess that's what happens when you go to a new place, not only a new place, but the other side of the stinking country. And But, you know, like I said, adaptability practice. So here I am in the morning getting used to these huge swells and, like, just super steep hills, man. I mean, it's like the beach. It's like 8 feet up from where the water begins almost, and, like, the water rushes right up to the top of it. If you haven't seen it before, it's almost impossible to describe. It's crazy, but I'll give it a go. So, like, you got these huge swells, and the water recedes back. It builds up, and then it pushes right on up. And so this is when you know it's about time to approach your wave, because when the water rushes back down, and there's what looks like no water, you throw your board on wet sand. You're not throwing your board on water. The sand is just simply wet, and that's all it takes for you to start skimming down. And then you pop yourself up on the wave, and at this point, that's when you're doing your wraps to come back onto shore and, you know, really show your flair there. And you definitely gotta watch Blair Conklin and Austin Keen. They really took the stops out there. I got to do some sky view of watching the pros. The first day it was just pro. The entirety of the show was really pros. It turned out there was an all time high count for contestants at the Oktoberfest. So big that not only did they have to have two competition sections, but they had to extend the competition and whole extra day just to get all the heats through. It was really intense. The atmosphere was very high. Everyone was having a great time. It was a very, very amped up situation. It was really fun to be in, and I made buddies. I had a good time. I met a cool guy from Tokyo. His name was Yo. I met another fella from Hawaii. His name is Jin. And what was really unique about Jin and I guess the Hawaiian culture, in fact, is that they do skimboarding, but they do it on boogie boards. And I mean, like, I almost didn't even know that you could do that. I've goofed around on the shores of South Carolina trying to turn my boogie board into a skimboard and, you know, ate the sand and scraped my face. You know, so I assumed, okay, that's where it ends. You don't boogie board on the skimboard. But no, Jin took it to the competition, and not only did he take it to the competition, but he made it through two heats. So he was really a genuine competitor, and he was on a boogie board. It was really cool. It was really cool to see, because he was also the only one doing that. And I met plenty of people from San Diego. I got to watch the Laguna locals, the pros, the, you know, Blair Conklin and Austin Keen I'm kind of blanking on some names here, but there was another fella, the guy who runs the Zap Skimboards, who hosted the Dewey Beach competition that I went to. I got to see him. We got to talking, and I watched him compete. It was really cool. It was really cool. The whole first day, it was nothing but pros. And so, you know, when I needed a break from that super cold water, all I had to do was sit down and watch some pros and do a little bit of watch and learn. It was amazing, John. I had a great time. There was plenty of fun things to do and plenty to learn just by sitting back and relaxing. It was awesome.
Well, that sounds great, and especially the idea that you can go out there and learn, because that's going to be so important in your next competition. So the more you can learn, the better you will do, and that's great. And I tell you what, we're excited that you were here to give us the flavor of what went on out there, and we'll see if we can be at that event down in Florida. And there's a lot of great things coming up because we're going to start taking the name Skimboard Podcast, because that's one thing that we're really doing. We're doing a great, we've done it for about 2 months now, and it's a lot of fun. So, you know, Miller, it's great having you report for us, and when we start getting some guests, like next week, we're going to have you on as a co-host. How does that sound?
That sounds terrific, John. I mean, that is great. Please bring me back.
Yeah, we'll bring you back as a co-host, because We'll certainly want you to do that. And we've had a lot of fun with you here on the the Myrtle Beach Report and the Skimboard News and the Skimboard Podcast. And we got all kinds of great names and all kinds of great things going on. So we'll see everybody next week. We'll be talking with these guys and see if we can get them to come on board with us and do our podcast. We'll have you there with us as a co-host. So we'll see you next time on the Myrtle Beach Report and the Skimboard News. Miller, thanks a lot. See you next time.
See you, John.
All right.